Here in New York City, the news that Osama bin Laden is dead drew hundreds of people to the site of one of his most devastating attacks, Ground Zero. WNYC's Marianne McCune was there, and she joins me now. Good morning, Marianne.
Good morning.
So President Obama spoke to the nation late last night, but the images are on our website show streets clogged with people and traffic at a standstill. Tell us what the crowd was like at the World Trade Center site.
Well, they were raucous, and they were very patriotic. They were waving flags, or a few people were wrapped up in flags. They filled about a city block, and I'd say that the young people really dominated the crowd. It actually felt sometimes like a rowdy frat party. Some people were openly drinking in the streets, and no official was trying to stop them. At one point, a young woman climbed up the lamppost that became a sort of podium for the evening and lifted up her shirt, exposing her plaid bra. But most of the young people I spoke to were, though, very excited. They were really respectful. They were very sincere. And they very much wanted to be a part of what to them was this major moment in history. In addition to the more raucous behavior, there was singing of anthems. And at one point, the entire crowd put two fingers in the air for victory and managed to share a moment of silence. For some of these young people, it was as if they were trying to own this part of history more than they've had a chance to, because a lot of them were only 9 or 10 or maybe a teenager when the World Trade Center was attacked. And many said they remembered watching it on TV or on YouTube. They talked about watching the attacks on YouTube over and over again, but that they came to the World Trade Center site last night to feel more connected to it. So listen to this 20-year-old acting student named Connor Fudge.
I've never been more proud of my country than I have been this weekend. And living in this neighborhood, being a student, you have to come down and celebrate. I just couldn't, you have to. It's like I couldn't think of anything else to do. Watching like our country's freedom being rebuilt like right where it all started, you just had to come here.
Very young man, but he sounds very moved by all this.
Yeah, he got choked up talking about how he felt, and when he couldn't get his words out anymore, his roommate, another acting student from London, gave him a very sweet, long hug. And that was a big part of the mood, this camaraderie that in some ways was reminiscent of the way people came out in New York immediately after the September 11th attacks. At that time, so many New Yorkers came out to volunteer or participate in vigils or just to feel what they felt in a public way. But the big difference here was that a good portion of the people coming out hadn't experienced the attacks or life in New York afterward at all.
But of course, it wasn't only students in the crowd overnight. How were the people who did have some connection to the events of that day and the aftermath respond?
You know, I didn't speak with anyone who was actually upset about the degree of partying or anything like that. But there were people who looked a little bit lost in it, like they didn't quite know where they fit in. I talked to an attorney who grew up on the edge of New York City and said he had lost a lot of friends, or he had a lot of friends growing up who were firefighters and cops, and some of them had died. And he was a lot more somber. His name is Patrick Lawless.
I mean, when it happened, it was surreal. It's a little surreal to be here. I mean, I'm glad that everybody came out and... You know, you just wish that this sort of feeling lasts longer than these just moments. Like, you know, to have been here when it happened and to know people that were there, it's just a different feeling altogether.
Did you talk to any 9/11 first responders?
Yes. I met a former Army major who was in the reserves and served in Afghanistan along with two of his sons and a daughter. And he was also a first responder after the attacks in the sense that he actually worked on getting communication technology back right at the site for days afterwards. And he was really looking around, sort of sorting through a lot of memories of that time.
I've been closing my eyes trying to remember this place 9 or 10 years ago, and it's hard to remember the moonscape. It's hard to remember the dirt. It's hard to remember how all of Lower Manhattan from Canal Street to Battery Park was closed, and I sat on that tower over there on the 10th floor at night when we were working here, and you know, people were sleeping on the sidewalks together, and you would look out and this entire place was dark. There was nobody here. You never saw New York that way. You never thought you would.
So Major Forrester said he was glad to see all these young people at the site celebrating. And I also spoke with two sons of a firefighter who died in the attacks, Kevin Dowdell of Rescue 4. He was the firefighter who died. And his son, Patrick Dowdell, said that he was thrilled to see all these kids out.
This crowd is full of American patriots, and that's what's good to be surrounded by those kind of people. I think we're all cut from the same cloth. We all love our country, and more so now than ever.
Mayor Bloomberg put out a statement saying he hopes this will bring some sort of closure and comfort to people who lost friends and family members. Did that seem to be the case for anyone?
You know, I asked one of the sons of the fallen firefighter about that, and he almost waved me away as if closure for him is kind of an irrelevant concept. He's actually a firefighter himself. His name is James Dowdell.
People talk about closure, you know. I don't know. I look at it as it's a victory for us, and I'm happy to be here. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
And, you know, Marianne, amidst all the chanting of USA, USA, was there any expression of the more complicated reality that surrounds all this, the international politics, relations with Pakistan, the fact that the U.S. wasn't able to get bin Laden until now?
There were definitely political moments. There was a lot of chanting of Obama, a lot of support for Obama out there. There was a moment where First Lieutenant Daniel Choi climbed up the lamppost and took center stage. He is the first lieutenant who was discharged from the military last year after openly saying that he was gay on television, and he's since been fighting the don't ask, don't tell policy and trying to re-enlist. And he led everybody in the Pledge of Allegiance and then came down and spoke very briefly, basically just saying that he, like everybody else, was a patriot and we're all Americans. But then when I was leaving, I met this German architect. We were both walking away from the site, and he actually happened to be on one of the teams of finalists during the 2003 competition for the design of the 9/11 memorial. And he said that he didn't feel comfortable with what he called this sort of oversimplified mix of patriotism and chauvinism, and that he wished for some more complexity in the conversation.
I don't want to allow that to necessarily translate in some hokey nationalism, which I think that's what we saw tonight.
So he felt moved by the attacks and moved by this news, but sort of confused by the lack of complexity to the conversation.
Thank you so much, Marianne.
Thank you, Soja.
WNYC's Marianne McCune, who was at the World Trade Center site in the hours after the news that Osama bin Laden had been killed in a U.S.-led military operation. We want to know how you're reacting to the news. Call us at 1-877-869-8253 or leave your comments at our website, WNYC.org.